We come to this place for magic. We come to pop over view, to laugh, to cry, to drink, because we need that, all of us. That indescribable feeling we get when we hit the play button and go somewhere we've never been before. Sound that I can feel. Somehow, heartbreak feels good in a place like this. Not just entertained, but somehow reborn. Together. Pop Poor Review. We make movie podcasts better.
How is that?
Salty.
Have you ever considered becoming a food critic?
Not really. Why, is there money in it?
I'm just saying you have a marvelous way with words when describing food. Salty. So vivid one can almost taste it.
Hey, I'm just saying it's salty. And salt's cheating. Any cook can make things salty. To make it taste good without the salt, we'll just get the flavors. That's the trick.
Welcome back, everybody. Have you popped open a beer or poured yourself a glass of wine yet? Because you're listening to Pop Poor Review with Jimmy Chico.
Hi.
Caligon.
Hello.
And myself, Matt Chico. We are the movie podcast where we journey through the IMDb Top 250 movies list. If you don't have a drink yet, you can try today's inspired drink based off number 133, Green Book. It is the Green Book. Tequila, triple sec, cucumber, jalapeno, agave nectar, lime juice, and salt for the rim.
What a lazy name, Matt.
What would you name it?
The Doc.
I would have named it I don't know, spaghetti.
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna name it. Put a piece of fried chicken in it.
KFC.
You did?
Yes.
Oh. Because you saw it in the movie or?
No, Angela brought a bucket home.
Oh.
But I did, like, ironically, did want to eat it because I just finished the movie today.
Okay, that's why I was curious if it was a craving from the movie. So yeah, number 133, Green Book. That's the number at the time of the recording. Came out in 2018. Director Peter Farrelly, writer Nick Vallelonga, Brian Hayes Curry, and Peter Farrelly, starring Viggo Mortensen and Mahershala Ali. IMDb rating 8.2 out of 10. Rotten Tomato score. Critics 77%, audiences 91%, Letterboxd 3.7 out of 5, box office 85.1 domestic, 105.8 million adjusted for inflation, worldwide 320 million, 398 million adjusted for inflation. And for Oscars, it won Best Picture, it won Best Supporting Actor for Mahershala Ali, it won Best Original Screenplay, it was nominated for Best Actor for Viggo Mortensen, and Best Editing. I feel like this could be a big topic, so I want to talk about the Best Picture of it all in a second, because I feel like that could be like a very chunky conversation. So let's
chunky conversation.
So let's shotgun some facts. So Kelly, would you like to start?
So during the disgusting hot dog eating scene, apparently Viggo Mortensen actually ate the hot dogs because he was like straight up like so disgusted by doing a spit bucket that he ended up eating 15 hot dogs, and that's gross. In addition, he did a lot of eating for this because when he met the family, he said he went through a 6-hour dinner with them and they kept giving him more and more food that at the end of the dinner, he literally drove around the corner, didn't go home, undid his pants, and just laid in his car for an hour groaning.
Yeah, I read that. Well, that's an Italian meal. So mine is going to pick you off Kelly's because it's about the spit buckets as well. There was, like she said, there was no spit buckets, so... because Viggo Mortensen said the spitting at the food would have been grosser than eating the food. So those scenes where he's eating chicken, he folds up a whole pizza pie. I think he had to do 10 pizzas for 10 different takes of that, eating the whole pizza in one bite or in one single sitting. And the whole crew got a little nervous because they said it was pretty gross because he was like, why spit it out where it's just as disgusting as shoving it down my body. So
they also said though that originally Peter Farrelly was like, I don't want to include that, we have so many funny eating scenes, like we don't need to see you eating in a whole entire pizza at once. But then they saw it and then they're like, okay, it's disgusting but it's really funny, so
I feel like you're going comedic as well. I mean, you might as well throw, like, why, like, oh, now you're gonna, you have like a very there's
like,
not
that's
a big
your threshold.
Line.
That's your
exactly.
threshold.
Exactly. There's not a big line drawn between like comedy and drama in this movie. So like, I feel like really that's where you put. I feel like he was like, this is my serious movie. So not that many, not that much eating. Jimmy.
At 1 hour, 6 minutes, and 38 seconds, Mahershala Ali's performance in this film is the longest ever who won an Academy Award for Best Actor in a Supporting Role.
And he and Denzel are the only two black actors to win this award twice.
Well, that is quite the feat.
And I think this was, Moonlight was only 2 years before this, right?
Yeah, he won pretty much like right after another.
And then he's been working on Blade ever since.
That movie's never coming out.
So, Jimmy, before we take a quick break, please read us a summary for Green Book.
In 1962, tough bouncer Frank Tony Lip Vallelonga searches for his work while his nightclub is closed for renovations. The most promising offer turns out to be the driver for an African-American classical pianist, Don Shirley, for a concert tour in the Deep South states. Although hardly enthused at working for a black man, Tony accepts the job and they begin their trek armed with the Negro Motorist Green Book, a guide for safe travel through America's racial segregation. The snobbish pianist and the crude bouncer can barely get along with their clashing attitudes to life and ideals. However, in their desperate pair, witness and endure America's appalling injustices on the road, they find a newfound respect for each other, others' talents, and start to face them together. In doing so, they nurture an understanding and a friendship that would change both of their lives.
And we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Nate.
And I'm Andrew.
And we are the hosts of Two Beards Please podcast.
I asked him if he'd ever done this before. He said that he had.
So you're asking these questions while you're on the operating table?
Just before we start, right.
So you didn't think to ask these questions like in a consultation visit?
I really
or
didn't care. I just wanted
lines?
To prolong the hot knife cauterization as long as I could.
I also had some adults come to my door, not with kids.
Did you give them candy?
I did.
What's wrong with you?
What's...
They deserve apples. It's my favorite comedy movie that I could think of in 4 hours when some idiot says, "What's your favorite four comedy movies of all time?" Okay. This beardy is based on a limited amount of time, and I only had two beers. Laugh with us or laugh at us. Either way, you're laughing, and we're responsible.
Find all of the links to our social media as well as major listening platforms on our website, twobeardsplease.com.
And we're back. Green Book, number 133, as we always do. Do you think it should be on the list? And do you think 133 should be appropriate for it? Jimmy, let's start with you.
I don't understand. I don't understand how many of these people like this movie. Why is it in the top 250? Why did it win Best Picture? Why is it 131? Why is Letterboxd have it at a 3.7? That's very high. I just don't get it.
You actually brought up a good point, which I didn't really think about. Like, even Letterboxd has it very high. And that's like a very, like, I feel like you can get a little more snootier on Letterboxd. And, like, even they have it fairly high for I feel like, what this movie is. Kelly?
It definitely does not deserve to be in the top 250. I'm mixed about this movie because I remember I loved it the first time I saw it. Mostly just because it was just like a feel-good movie. It was like on the lines of Coda, but Coda's much better. It was on the lines of like it just made you feel really good and the acting and everything was just really good. Looking back on it now, I didn't mind that it won Best Picture when it did originally because I really enjoyed it. Rewatching it though, I don't think it deserved a Best Picture win. It definitely doesn't deserve to be in the top 250. I still enjoyed it. I didn't love it though as much as I originally did. Like, I definitely probably won't ever rewatch this movie unless it's like on TV and for some reason I need something on in the background. That's kind of where I'm at with it, where it's like I like it, but it definitely for some reason eclipsed way more than it actually like deserves compared to what we've gotten before then and since then. I really just think it was because it was like a really it really was a feel good movie and it was a fun movie for it's a general audience movie. Like everyone, like it hits everyone. Like, you know, I feel like there's not a whole lot of like unless you're like movie buffs like us, like detractors from the general audience from this movie.
So I'm sort of more with Kelly. I mean, I liked it. I don't love it. It is a feel-good movie. I think that is exactly what you said. I think that is what's driving this movie so high on the list, because even though it's about like a heavy subject, they kind of don't make it heavy. But like, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But I feel like, does it deserve a Best Picture nomination? Sure, I can see that. You know what, that I can, that's more plausible. I don't see the win with this movie. Like I said, I like the movie. I just don't see it as a Best Picture winner compared to like a Best Picture nominee. Especially, and this year was very like, I feel like the 2018 Oscars too was like very popular movies. You had Black Panther, you had Bohemian Rhapsody, all that stuff. So I don't know if it was just like that there's a lot more popular movies that year. I feel like if it was at 250, I'd be fine with it, but like I also don't think it should be higher than that, so I don't really probably think it should be on the list. Yeah, but like I was gonna say that it's like Coda. I think Coda was executed better with their like writing and some of the other stuff, but this movie, like, solely the most reason I enjoy it for is the two of them and is the acting.
But I mean, Coda, if you look at that movie, it's like a feel-good generic-y movie until you get that last scene where you're like, okay, this got me, this is why this movie is so good. Green Book did not have that.
I mean,
Green Book had chicken wings flying out the windows, him dislocating his jaw to eat a pizza. They like tiptoed around the fact that Mahershala Ali's character was gay, which I thought would have brought a bigger impact. I don't know. It just took the good of the whole story and like none of the bad. And for it to be called Green Book and for them really not to show what, I mean, they very rarely show what the Green Book is. Like, did you know from this movie what the Green Book was?
I mean, they explained
what it was. Explained it, so yeah.
But like, but you just got like that.
Could there have been more about it? Yes.
I felt like it needed to be more about them. Like, I think that Lovecraft Country did a great job at explaining what the Green Book was, because they're literally writing a version of the Green Book in that TV show.
I mean, I agree with you, but I also think that that's not what the movie's about. The movie's not about the Green Book. The movie is about their friendship. So, I mean, I agree that, you know, they did kind of just shallowly, like, the character, like, the reach into the characters was shallow. Like, it wasn't like super in depth or anything. But like with the Green Book discussion, I see where you're coming from, but that's not what the movie was about for me. It's about their friendship. But I do agree that we could have gone a bit deeper. I mean, I think the Coda moment for this movie was Mahershala Ali screaming at Viggo Mortensen
when it's raining, right?
Yeah, when he's like, I'm not black enough, I'm not white enough, I'm not manly enough, like, then what the fuck am I, you know? So I think that like it had its moment, and like that really was a standout moment. I was like, okay, now I remember why he deserved the Best Supporting Actor, because I'll be honest, like, I was kind of like, why did I like the acting this much in this movie? Like, it was good, it's just like, and their chemistry was great, but then I was like, oh, this is what pushed it. This is what really pushed it.
And like that thing, like, I don't think it should have won Best Picture, but I am still, I was fine with it then. I'm still fine with it now that he won Best Supporting Actor, because, yes, both of them were very good, but I thought he has a lot more nuance to his role. And I kind of almost wish, because a lot of the complaints, Jimmy, was the same as you. Like, they were like saying, you call it Green Book, it's not that much about Green Book. And I feel like if they kind of focused more on Dr. Shirley than Tony Lip, I feel like you could have gone a little deeper with it, but Tony Vallelonga's son wrote it, so I just don't think that was ever going to be the case with this movie. And I think there was a whole controversy, I think, with the portrayal of Dr. Shirley. It's a whole thing with this movie. So
I mean, I feel like the character, the writing of the characters is just so shallow, and it like caricatures of who they were. Like, I feel like Viggo Mortensen just played, you know, a 1950s, 1960s Italian guy. And I mean, Mahershala Ali was better, but do I think he should have won the Oscar? I don't know. I think there might have been some other
Hold on, I have it.
It was Adam Driver for Black Klansman, Sam Elliott for A Star Is Born, Richard E. Grant for Can You Ever Forgive Me, and Sam Rockwell for Vice.
See, personally, there's not one that's like amazing in that. So I think I'm fine.
Sam Elliott to me. I think
he's great, but I think he's just going, as good as Mahershala.
Being 5 or 6 years from when this happened now, I look back and I'm like, I feel like Sam Elliott's, like, I remember more of Sam Elliott in A Star Is Born than I probably do of Mahershala Ali in Green Book.
I mean, I just rewatched A Star Is Born not more than like literally this weekend. And I'll say, like, Sam Elliott was amazing. He's probably the only person in that list that I would allow to have won over Mahershala Ali. And I probably would have said that until I just rewatched Green Book and saw the scene of him shouting. Because it's also just, like, when I look at the other roles that Mahershala Ali has played before, like, the way he plays this role with, like, delicacy and, like, isolation and everything, like, I think he actually did deserve it, and I really, like, enjoyed his performance.
Because I agree with you, Jimmy, that I think, and a lot of the reviews were saying this too, it's a very, where was it? It's an inoffensive, safe, cliche, kind of very safe movie, but
also
I just...
Also written by, like, a non-writer, you
No,
know?
But he has written other things. That's why I thought this was his only thing he wrote. He did write other stuff.
Like what?
Nothing huge, but I'm saying he's not a huge prolific screenwriter, but still, I thought this was his only thing. But I do think it was, if it wasn't with someone related to either of them, I think the story could have been stripped back a little more. And I think the directing also, like, he kind of just directed like a comedy. I don't know if that's really what was needed for this movie. And they even were, I think I saw in the shotgun, like in the trivia, that Mahershala Ali called him like a first time director with 25 years experience, because he's never done this type of movie. And it's almost like Todd Phillips, but it didn't go as successful. Well, obviously it did, because it won Best Picture. But it's like, I feel like Todd Phillips kind of took it and ran with it and didn't have any comedy in The Joker.
Yeah, but I don't think Peter Farrelly was even nominated for Best Director.
He wasn't. That's what I'm saying. But he did win this. He ended up winning an Oscar for the screenplay, but I'm just saying, like, I think he took it. I feel like it with the line, there was no line of like balancing, and I feel like it was much more comedic than I think it needed to be, or it could have developed the story more if it wasn't so funny. It could have just relied on their relationship, sort of like The Untouchables, but I feel like they added like more comedy to it.
I mean, we don't know, because this is based off of someone's like diaries, you know, like someone's real life. It could be that, like, you know, that, you know, they didn't have this, like, dark relationship with, like, it had its moments, obviously, when, you know, he caught him in the shower, like, finding out, you know, that he's gay and, you know, dealing with the racial segregation and everything like that. But, like, we don't, like, that could be what exactly it was. Like, it wasn't as, like, deep and dark and, you know, as serious as, like, you know, that might just not be their relationship.
You said whose son wrote this movie?
Tony Lips.
Okay, so of course they got to portray him in a positive light. So they got to be like,
they didn't portray Mahershala Ali in a bad light.
I wasn't talking more about their relationship. I meant more like it was very surface with like the race and stuff. They were just like,
yeah, but that's what I'm trying to say. Like, it's like, it, I understand that it's surface. Obviously, like, I would have preferred if we were able to go deeper. But the thing is that we're taking it from this guy's son, who, like, you know, is taking it from stories that he heard from both of them and things like that. Like, I think one thing we may be forgetting is that, like, the stories and the experience they had, it may not have run that deep. It may not have gotten that serious. Like, obviously, there were serious moments, but, like, we're talking about someone just like replaying this friendship on screen, you know?
Like, no, yeah.
But it's like, you know, going deeper into, okay, the race, da, da, da. But then it's all, then now we're also going into territory that they never actually experienced. You know what I'm saying? Like, now we're going to go into territory where we're taking more liberties with the story of them, you know? Like, it felt like he was just like, I'm just sticking to what I was told and what I know that they went through. versus going any deeper into history and making my own shit up, you know?
I mean, I agree that to an extent, but at the same time, I feel like
you gotta do research on the time. Don't just go on what your father said.
Yeah, but again, this isn't a movie about history. This is a movie about their friendship. That's the thing. Like, you're trying to, and again, like, I'm only I'm just playing devil's advocate right now. Like, I'm still like with you guys that it's like a shallow screenplay and stuff, but we're talking about, this is a story about their friendship. This has nothing to do with their history or anything like that. Like, he's not pulling stuff from that, because that's not what the movie's about. The movie's about what? His father and Don Shirley, the development of their friendship.
But I also feel like the part of the story is him seeing Don Shirley get treated the way he gets treated, and yes, kind of evolves a friendship with it. And I get that. But I feel like also it was so like,
but like, what are you going to do? You're going to go and start making up scenes that he has no idea, adding characters that don't exist just to go deeper and explain all this stuff?
I don't think it means making up the scenes. It's more just like the scenes they had not being so surface, like be a little more.
But that might have been what they went through. That's what I'm saying. Like, you can't say, like, obviously we don't know whether or not he fictionalized it, but like, that might be exactly how it went for them. Like, who's to say that it actually went even deeper? Like, you can't just like make up all this other stuff. Like, Dr. Shirley, the way he's portrayed is someone who keeps his dignity, keeps his cool and stuff like that. Like, what do you want him to do? Like, make up that he broke down every time something happened?
The scenario to seem more realistic and not like black. Oh, I see him as black now. We'll move on to the next scene.
But the thing is that like, this might be the way that their friendship went.
No, you know? And I get that, but I also read that he did take liberties already expanding the story. So if you're going to do that, you might as well do it a little more.
Yeah, but in that sense, again, like, you know, you can take, like, of course, he probably took some liberties, but they just might not have had that. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, like let's go deeper into the, you know, the racial segregation and stuff like that. Okay, so like, how are you going to do that? Like, you're going to have a fight between them. You're going to make a character up who has all this expose. Or like, how are you going to make that more real? Because what you're saying, oh, it's not real enough. We don't know that. That's the thing with these like type of biotype pics or stuff. Like, we just don't know whether or not that that could have been exactly how it went, or it might not have been. So
I get what you're saying, but I also still feel like they chose to make more of a feel-good movie than a serious movie, and that's fine. That's the decision they made. It is a feel-good movie. I just feel like it could have been not without making stuff up, just make it more, just expand upon the experiences.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, how are you going to expand upon the experiences if they're saying those experiences didn't happen? Like, we're saying Viggo Mortensen's character, he could have just been like a 1960s like stereotypical Italian, happy-go-lucky dude. Be like, and then, you know, just getting along with, you know, Don Shirley. Now, if you wanted to make a more Don Shirley biopic, then that's, you know, that's something different. Like, obviously, you had to delve into it more, but it's not a Don Shirley biopic. It's not even it's biopic. It's just about this one friendship.
I get what you're saying. I don't know if I fully. There's ways to. Like, I just feel like they were down south, and then that's when the cop... It's like when they were down south, the cop treated them bad. When they were up north, the cop treated them well. And I don't know if that's necessarily, like, true in the 60s that, like, all like just depending on where you were and what state people treated you. Like,
but it's like, that's what we're looking for, because we're like, oh, it could be a serious movie that way. But the thing is like, for me, I'm just kind of like, that might just how it went for them. Like, if that's their story, like, I'm not going to make them force them to make it even worse for him. If it wasn't actually worse for him.
But
did you want them to treat him even worse?
But no, but I feel like they like would tiptoe right up to the edge and then just go, nope, and then just kind of move on. Like the part where.
But if that's how it went, then how are you going to make it worse?
To be honest, I don't think that's how it went. I have a feeling that it was a lot harder, because there is a quote in the trivia for the movie on IMDb. They said that Don Shirley's family did not say like this was not they were not friends.
That was refuted though.
But then what I was going to say is he said we weren't. It wasn't just an employee-employee relationship that they were in his hands, but I really don't think that like they ended up like, you know, I just don't see it happening that they ended up best friends until the day they died.
Well, no,
I'm not refuting the best friends part. I'm just refuting like he like their quote was saying that like the one that like it refuted the family. It said Don Shirley said like this man's my life was in his hands because I hired him because I was afraid I was going to die down in the South or be beaten up to death. I just feel like they sugarcoated the South part a little more to make the movie a little more funnier. That's all. I agree the friendship thing, it might have just been what it is. It's just more the experiences that Don Shirley was experiencing. I feel like not related to Lip, not related to Tony Lip. It was just more, I felt like they sugarcoated the South part just to kind of move the story along and hit the beats it needs to hit. But I agree that the friendship could have been exactly what it was, if that makes sense.
No. I agree that, like, obviously it was definitely worse. But again, like, I'm going to hit the nail on the head again. Like, it's the fact that it's like, what do you want them to add in when this isn't a movie about that?
But I feel like it is a part of it. The story, though, is the whole race part of it.
But the thing is, how are you gonna, like, what are you gonna add in a scene of someone getting beaten? Like, what are you adding in? And then why are you adding that in?
I just think that the writers looked more at Viggo Mortensen's character than they did on Don Shirley character, just for the fact that Viggo Mortensen's character's real life son wrote the film, and they didn't maybe go to any of the Mahershala Ali's character and be like, hey, what was it like for him? Because you really saw it from Viggo Mortensen's perspective, because like something, the only time you saw it from Don Shirley's perspective is when he's at the Christmas party and they're like, well, you have to use the bathroom outside and stuff like that, but still you saw Viggo Mortensen jump in and like save the day almost.
Well, yeah, but you also saw him get beaten up at the bar. You saw him be like, why am I getting arrested? I didn't even do anything here. And then calling up, you know, RFK. And then there was another dinner that they wouldn't let him eat at. And it's also then it also was going on about him talking about his loneliness because he felt like he didn't belong in any world. So it's like, it's not like they didn't touch upon it. I agree that we could have probably gone deeper if there was anything deeper, but we just don't know.
No, I think the movie we have, it's the way I was in it, it dawned on me when I was watching it. I was like, I feel like this is the movie you put on weirdly when it's a rainy, cold day and you want to snug up in a blanket and watch a movie. It's that one that just makes, it's the era that it was set in, the music and all that. It makes you feel good. And the story itself at the end, it just makes you feel good. I do think, and I think we kind of said this, that I know the family said there was family, they didn't realize there was family, so they couldn't really talk to them. If it was written more equally distributive, like showing like both of them a little more in detailed, if there was any detail, I feel like it might have been a little more interesting story wise.
No, I 100% agree with you guys. It's just like, you know, again, I'm playing devil's advocate in that it's like, are we taking away from what this movie is because we want something more serious?
I also think it's a love letter to his father, and that's like he wrote it. So it's like you can't. I think that's the core thing too. It's like this was the movie I think it was going to be because, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing or I'm not saying it's a bad thing or anything, but his son wrote it, and I think it was his, a dedication to his mother, his father, his family, and all that stuff.
No, yeah, I totally agree on that. Totally.
It is like, Driving Miss Daisy in reverse, but, you know, that might be the movie he was setting out to make.
Yeah. I mean, definitely, like, Viggo Mortensen is the hero in it. He doesn't look bad. The only time he looks bad is when he throws away the cups in the very beginning of the movie, and that's pretty much it. So, like, I agree. Like, we don't get as many flaws with him. Like,
that was actually another thing you reminded me of. How did we go from him throwing away the cups, like there, and then all of a sudden, like there really was no character development to me. It was like, okay, he's racist. He doesn't like a certain race. To, oh, you're good. To me, that it, there was just no in between.
No, I agree with you on that. Like, I agree with you. Like, Viggo Mortensen, like, when he got the nomination, I was, like, extremely shocked he got the nomination, because I just, you know, I've seen him in, do so much better.
But I do think he's good in it, though.
He's not bad, but I've seen him do much better. But it's also, his character is really just, like, a one-note character.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he just played a stereotypical Italian.
They just had really good chemistry. That's
which
what
did nothing.
In my opinion, yeah.
So, let me ask you a question to go back to the Oscar thing, because I saw... The Oscars was a whole huge debate on the reviews. And then some of them people were saying it was like just an Oscar bait movie. Do you think this is an Oscar bait movie? Because to me, this is the movie where I feel like it, in normal years, it wouldn't even get considered.
An Oscar bait movie.
If that makes sense what I'm saying.
I know exactly what you mean.
Okay. An Oscar bait film.
Do you?
I would have to say yes, because there's really no other reason. You know what I'm saying?
I get what they're saying, but at the same time, I also like don't, because to me, it's like this one, I feel like there's been a lot of movies about, you know, topics like this that like never even get brought into the conversation of the Oscars.
Like, what do you mean? Hold on.
Like, there's movies about, like, you know, where it's kind of like an uplifting story about race and whatever, or however you want to say it, like the quote unquote white savior, stuff like that. But yet the movie never even gets into the conversation of like Oscars. It's just a movie that came out that people might like, or it might be like a feel good movie. That's why I was kind of surprised when some people were saying it was Oscar bait, because to me, Oscar bait's like super dramatic. You're going for the Oscar, and this one to me didn't seem like it was necessarily going for the Oscar. I get why people think it, but to me, it's not a full 100% Oscar bait movie.
I 100% know where you're coming from. I do believe that this is still an Oscar bait movie, but I think maybe that's also kind of what turned why people like it so much. Like, people were expecting like a super serious movie, and then instead they got a feel good movie. So it's almost like, oh my God, we watched an Oscar bait movie and didn't want to like rip our hair out. Like, didn't want to cry. It wasn't in a complete depressive mood. So I think that might have.
Like,
you know,
Coda, a movie that's very comparable. Coda does not give me Oscar bait movie.
No.
So that's
also
why,
like Apple TV, you know what I'm saying?
No, I know, but I just feel like this, they're very comparable. Because I was watching, I was like, this is like Coda, but I just think Coda was done better. But it's that feel-good movie that makes you feel good, that has a few moments that some people might cry at. But it's an uplifting story. And and people criticize Coda for winning Best Picture. But I'm like, you can't just have like depressing movies all the time. I feel like their Oscars needs to be, we talk about this all the time, needs to be full rounded a lot of times with the movies they're picking for nominee and winner.
Yeah. I really truly think it's because people didn't expect it to be as enjoyable, like feel good as it was. Like,
maybe.
For example, like Jojo Rabbit. I was just like, oh my God, not this. I was like, I had no idea what the movie was about. And I was just kind of like, Hitler. And then I was like, Taika Waititi. And I was like, I don't know how that. And then I watched it and I was like, very serious subject. Very serious subject. But funny. You know what I'm saying?
That's another compro movie where I think it was done a little better, because the line...
It's a thousand times
better. I'm sorry. Yeah, I meant just like it's better, and but it's a comparable movie where it's this, like, it's a movie about a heavy topic, but it leans more comedy. But I feel like it's a better line toad, but I think the director... It's better directing, because with this one, Peter Farrelly, not saying he's a bad director, he just does comedy, but I feel like he just kind of laid it on thick, a lot of the things he was trying to do, and I don't know. But I mean, it doesn't surprise me that I got nomination for Best Picture, because it got like it won the TIFF, People's Choice, and that was like 22 out of 46 of them went on to be nominated. The only funny thing is, nominations were Green Book, Black Panther, Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, The Favorite, Roma, A Star Is Born, and Vice.
So, you know, I think the same thing with Bohemian Rhapsody. Like,
I agree with you.
Ask me that. It did not delve deep enough into Freddie Mercury's life. I feel like they shied away from a lot of stuff with that, which then you got, you know, less than like a year later, you got Rocket Man, which they bared all. of Elton John's dark parts. Like, it would be like with Freddie Mercury, like, it would be like, oh, okay, he you see him, he's like, okay, you know, he's fooling around with guys in truck stops, but they don't really show anything. And then the next thing you know, he has AIDS. And I was like, oh, okay, we just jumped like a lot. Like, that should have had a lot more, I feel like, lead up to it. Just like with this one, I felt like there was no lead up to. I mean, I feel like you're supposed to know that Mahershala Ali's character is gay from the beginning.
They do a great job at it, though.
But they did not, like they show him in the shower with the other guy, and mm-hmm. you're like, okay, so he's supposed to be gay, but then they kind of don't bring it up again. Like, if they skirt around the issue, like, I'm like, but why is that like an issue? And to be honest, I don't think that the Viggo Mortensen character would have been that okay with it in the 1960s if he was a Catholic Italian, to be honest. I really don't think that he would have been like, okay, you do you.
See, I agree with you all about the Bohemian Rhapsody stuff, but I still think Green Book is a better movie than Bohemian Rhapsody. Because I felt I got a better feeling from it.
They're on the same level for me.
Yeah.
I thought that they shied away from a lot of stuff that they really shouldn't have.
Yeah, I think that was its biggest downfall. But like I said, I'm going to repeat it again. It's still a good movie, in my opinion, just very flawed. But I can still watch it and enjoy it for what it is. But it is funny because, speaking of the Best Picture stuff, it's the 19th Best Picture Oscar winner that was like not included in like 1001 movies you must see before you die. Like, I just think that's fine. And like Beautiful Mind's on there also. So like they're comparing it to like Beautiful Mind, Best Picture winner, Green Book, Shakespeare in Love. Ironically, Driving Miss Daisy's on there. I just find it interesting that,
and I've seen Driving Miss Daisy, and I thought that was a much better film than this movie.
It's Oscar life is very interesting to read, because then I saw another thing that it was like it's one of only five films to win Best Picture but not be nominated for director, and also not get anything at the Directors Guild or Writers Guild. So I do think it had that coda movement where I think they just were championing it for what it was. Looking back, is it the Best Picture? No, but I'll give it the nomination. I just wouldn't give it the win.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. A Star Is Born should have won, in my opinion.
Star Is Born is so fucking good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where we disagree. I think Black Klansman was the better of the films, but
I mean, Black Klansman was good too. It's just, yeah. Did Peter Farrelly do anything much after this, or
he did Ricky Stenicki?
Oh, that's the one who I know. It was only one Farrelly brother that did it.
That, yeah, that's him. Oscar winner.
And he also did Movie 42, which is pretty funny. Oscar winner for Movie 42.
He did the Dumb and Dumber movies. So, I mean,
he makes great comedies, yeah.
What did he do something about Mary?
Yeah, he did something about Mary too.
I love that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I feel like he tried to bring his like roots to it. I just think it, I guess it's the right movie to do it to, because it was a very lighthearted movie, but like, I don't know if it was the right approach for.
For a director going into the dramatic world of directing, I don't think he's in the top there. I mean, you have Jordan Peele, even Todd Phillips, even a lot of people didn't like his directing in Joker.
But it's a total 180. I think those are the ones that people remember.
I think you need to either go all the way,
yeah,
and really like commit to it, then kind of teeter on the comedy. I mean, yeah, Get Out did have its comedic elements, but it was mostly a dramatic horror film.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was. I mean, I just reading some of the reviews I have here, it's just funny if someone's like, definitely overrated for the cinema, but okay if you want something easy on the brain at home on a Sunday evening. And I'm like, I don't mean to sound mean when I say this, but like, that's Green Book in the best way possible. For like just like casually watching something and making you feel good.
Agreed.
Anything else before we move on to the back of the show?
No.
Okay, so we played the movie grid game a little bit now. I want to kind of, you know, throw in a new game, change it up, bring it a little bit more to IMDb. So we're playing a new game called Higher or Lower. So it's pretty much guessing which movie has a higher IMDb rating. Let's try it out. If we like it, we'll add it to the mix. We'll add it to the rotation.
Oh, guess which movie has a higher rating on IMDb. I got this.
So we're going to go until we're all going to have to agree on it, though. And we're going to go until we get it wrong, and then we'll stop.
You got it.
After the first one.
So imagine. Very short game. So let's start. So we have Borat. Or the Blair Witch Project. Ooh, that's actually is.
I'm going Borat.
Okay.
I'm probably
just because it is an Oscar nominated movie, and the Blair Witch Project people have over the last 20 years or 30 years since this movie has come out have started to not like it as much.
Yeah, like the reevaluation of the Blair Witch Project has not been positive, and the fact that it came out so early, I just don't feel like its IMDb score will be as high as Borat's.
I want to agree with you guys, but I feel like the Blair Witch Project, like when people think of choose like a horror that defined a genre, like a part of the genre. I feel like found footage, like people might appreciate that, but I'll go with Borat.
Like people go more now with Paranormal Activity. Like,
yeah.
With found footage.
And I agree with you. I want to go Borat, but that whole aspect of me is like saying
I want
earlier say reviews example. Might be high of that.
Also, but also, Borat
might not have as many, and I don't think.
Okay,
yeah,
here we go.
Because also don't forget the internet wasn't really a thing with Blair Witch.
Yeah,
that's true. So here we go. 7.4, 6.5, guys. We did it. We're moving on to second round. As you can tell, I was playing with it. So, it's incredible. It's 100%.
Yeah, incredible.
Yeah.
Okay. If it's not Incredibles, I'm logging off.
I had to stop playing because I saw my score. I was like, I got 3. Let me not go high. Okay. 8. Ooh, close.
Oh, God.
Closer
that was very close.
Okay. Fast and Furious.
Incredibles. So I'm going to say the
Incredibles. The Incredibles is on 250 list, so it has to be higher than Fast and Furious.
Fast and Furious 2009 is fucking terrible.
Yeah. I think just because The Incredibles is on the 250 list, it has to be higher for that reason. 6.5.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. Spider-Man No Way Home.
Spider-Man.
In case you're listening to a podcast form, Fast and Furious 2009, Spider-Man No Way Home. We're choosing Spider-Man No Way Home. 8.1.
Spider-Man.
Okay.
Spider-Man.
Ooh.
Memento's probably on the top 250.
They both
are on the top 250. That's why I'm like, I think
no, but people higher. Love that movie. I don't understand why, to be honest,
yeah,
but
Memento,
love that movie.
Memento's definitely higher.
It's a Christopher Nolan.
Memento,
no, I agree with you because Christopher Nolan, I do think it's going to be very close. So let's see. We're choosing
Memento.
Memento's a
cult favorite. Like,
no, I know. But sometimes you never know with the IMDb. You never know.
7.
It's 7. 7's super high on the list. Okay. 7
yeah,
on Memento. 7.
Oh, shit.
Okay. Guys, we're at high
7.
Score.
Seven.
Yeah.
I just know that because 7 is literally like the top 20 IMDb.
So it's Basic Instinct or 7. We're choosing 7.
Sharon Stone's vagina is not beating a severed head.
I think I'm going to go It's Basic Instinct or Mary Poppins. I'm going to go with Mary Poppins.
I'm going to go Mary Poppins.
Okay, let's see. Oh, that was close. Okay. Okay, so we got Spirited Away or Mary Poppins?
Spirited Away, definitely.
Spirited Away, because I think this is on the top 250 list.
It's definitely on the top 250
8.5. List. Okay, guys, we're doing great. Let's get to 10. And then, it's Empire Strikes Back or Spirited Away. Empire Strikes Back.
I'm going to go Spirited Away.
Wait, we just did the episode. Well, I'm trying to think what the score was.
Where's Empire Strikes Back?
I'm going to go Spirited Away, just because I don't think...
So it's
I think Spirited Away.
Okay.
No,
so...
no. Wait. Hold on. Empire Strikes Back is
wait.
Is,
how
is,
high
is,
was that?
Hoth
is 16.
It was pretty high.
Ooh.
No. Empire Strikes Back.
I think
Back.
Spirited Away is like in the 20s.
Yeah.
I got
okay,
confused
Empire
with Empire Strikes Back and Return
New Hope?
Of the Jedi.
Oh,
no,
okay.
Return of the Jedi.
So we're going Empire Strikes Back.
Because I was
yeah.
just like, wait, that
okay.
was pretty high when we did that.
Oh, guys. Okay,
oh, my
good,
God. That was really close.
Okay. I can't clap into the mic. Oh, Empire Strikes Back. And it's mm-hmm. Trainspotting and Empire Strikes Back. We're going to Empire Strikes Back. We have Trainspotting and The Amazing Spider-Man.
That's such a joke.
Trainspotting.
I think it's Trainspotting. Yeah.
It's called Trainspotting.
Oh, I didn't really actually read the title. I thought it was always called Trainspotting.
I'm going to go with it.
Okay. So it's it or The Amazing Spider-Man.
No one liked The Amazing Spider-Man.
I'll go with it too. Ooh, okay. It is it. So now it or Toy Story 2?
Toy Story 2. Toy Story 2.
Okay. So Toy Story 2 or Airplane? I'm going to go Toy Story
2. I'm going Toy Story 2.
Toy Story 2.
Oh, that was a close one. Okay. American Beauty or Airplane? American Beauty.
American Beauty. That's Jimmy? On the top 250, right?
I believe so.
Okay.
I'll go with American Beauty.
Okay. American Beauty 1. So now it's Reservoir Dogs and American Beauty. Oh, fuck.
Think Reservoir Dogs.
I have no idea. Reservoir Dogs, I feel like, is probably higher than American Beauty.
Yeah, I guess I'll go Reservoir Dogs.
It's Quentin Tarantino.
Oh, I guess we win. It's tied, though. They're both 8.3. I didn't know what was happening there.
Reservoir Dogs.
Transformers.
Yeah, so Reservoir Dogs or Transformers, it's Reservoir Dogs.
Are you sure? Oh. Yes,
sure. We're at 18, guys. Parasite or Transformers?
Parasite.
How long is this going to go on?
Parasite or Pixels?
Parasite.
Parasite. Ooh, 5.6.
Pixels is so fucking bad.
Batman Begins.
What?
I have to explain what the two are, Jimmy.
It's such a joke.
8.2. Okay, so it's Batman Begins. Batman Begins or 1917. Ooh. I want to say it's 1917.
I was going to say Batman Begins.
So, Kelly, you decide.
Oh, no. Is 1970 on the top 250?
Yeah, they both are.
Oh, fuck. I don't know.
I just go when in doubt, go Christopher Nolan, because I think like all his films are on the top 250.
I know, but 1917 was so big. Oh, my God. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Catch a Tucker Brother. I'll go, My Mother Says Who Picked the Very Best One, and You Are It. It went to 1917.
Oh. Okay, so, it was tied. So.
I was going to say, so both would have got it, I guess. Ooh, 1917 or Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade?
I'm going 1917.
I think 1917.
I think Indiana Jones, but okay, I will go 1917.
The Last Crusade is good, but it's not that good.
Oh, tied again. I'm confused with the ties, but. Indiana Jones, Last Crusader, Harry Potter, and the Deathly Hallows Part 1.
Indiana Jones.
Yeah, Indiana Jones.
All right, Indiana.
Star Wars, Return of the Jedi, Deathly Hallows Part 1. Return of the Jedi.
Oh, my God.
And if we get to 30, we'll stop, but if not before. Return of the Jedi or The Great Escape?
I'm going The Great Escape.
I'm going to go Return of the Jedi.
I will say Return of the Jedi because I don't know The Great Escape.
Oh, Jimmy, you would have let us lose.
I would have lost.
Clockwork Orange, Great Escape. So Clockwork Orange. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh shit, that was very close.
Clockwork Orange, Fast and Furious, Tokyo Drift.
Clockwork Orange,
Jimmy. Clockwork Orange.
Yeah, I'm gonna. Okay. I think so.
Six. Okay. 2012, oh, actually, and Tokyo Drift.
These are both so fucking bad.
I'm gonna go Tokyo Drift.
So. Okay.
Oh. Okay. It was.
Apocalypse Now.
Apocalypse Now. 2012. We're doing Apocalypse Now, right?
Yes man. Okay.
Oh, I wasn't sure. No one.
No, 2012.
I don't know. So it was Apocalypse Now. Dumb and Dumber or Apocalypse Now?
All right. I think we're done here.
Oh, did we get 30? Sorry. I didn't realize we got 30. Okay.
We're just that good.
That was pretty easy, except for a couple. I'll give a couple.
We were back and forth on a few. We can always switch back and forth if you want, but I really like that game, and it's very easy to just do. So finishing up our episode, MVP, LVP, most valuable player, least valuable player. Jimmy, what is your most valuable player? The ending?
No.
Linda Cardellini?
I was going to say Linda Cardellini. No, we don't talk about her enough.
We didn't talk about her at all. Kelly, your MVP?
Mahershala Ali.
I'll go with the acting. And Jimmy, your LVP, your least valuable player?
The story.
Kelly?
The story.
and I was gonna do the screenplay. Okay, time for ratings. I am between a few numbers. It's a good movie, but it's flawed. I'm between like a 7 and a 7.5. It kind of changes on the day. Today, I'll give it a 7.5. But like I said, tomorrow I can give it a 7.
Kelly?
I'll give it a 6.5.
And I was going to give it a 4. That's a 6.
6 compared to 8.2. We are nowhere near. And we can also give some clues for next week.
The clues are racing. Natalie Dormer.
Yes.
And a lot of rain in this movie. A lot of rain.
And with those, we will see you next episode. Bye.
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 Thanks so much for listening. You can hear us anywhere you listen to podcasts, and we want to hear what you think, so leave us a review. Give us some likes on social media at Pop Horror Review. Click around www.pophorrorreview.com. Become a member of our Patreon page, patreon.com/pophorrorreview, for exclusive content and drink recipes. And one last thing before you go, make sure to check out the Titan Media Collective and Titan Cast Network. Enjoy the rest of your Movie Monday.
That was a Titan Cast episode.